Hi. Hey. You excited to see me back? You like New better? Well, he's on a fishing trip. My name is John. I was here last week. If you missed me last week, it's okay. You can catch up on it online as well. I was the disciple that Jesus loved. You even have a painting of me. It looks like this. I was the one that sat next to Jesus, his right, your left, where I was leaning over because Peter was asking me a question. As you heard last week, who is going to betray you, Jesus? I was a fisherman. And my purpose is to tell the story. So you might learn about Jesus, that you would know that he is the Son of God, that he was fully man and yet fully human. Oh, you heard the stories. You even published my book, John, First, Second Epistles as well. You read it all. I hope you did. If you haven't, feel free to take one home. It's a gift from this church to you. You know, as I get to know Jesus in the times that he was calling me to follow him with my brother James, I always hear and see that he was always about his Father's business. He always foreshadowing that his Father was with him. He always foreshadowing that his time on earth was going to be very short. Of course, at the time, we were all confused and perplexed by his statements because we didn't think he was going to die anytime soon. He was young. He was healthy. 33 years old. And oftentimes, he will say, my Father in heaven. You know, we thought he was referring to his father, Joseph, here on earth. But he was literally referring to God himself in heaven. And he often told us that my Father loves you because you love me. Of course, at the time, we didn't know what he was talking about. But we were listening. He didn't have this dream of happily ever after here on earth. He didn't have ambitions to buy or build a big house or own some kind of fishing fleet to go fishing with us. He was always about his Father's business. Oh, there was one time. He was at a very young age. And they have this thing back in the days called the celebration of the Passover. The feast where everyone would come to Jerusalem to celebrate. So his mom, his dad, Joseph, and Mary, the whole family would go to Jerusalem to celebrate this Passover. And on their way home, they didn't realize Jesus was missing. Now, I can understand how that happened, because if you travel in a big crowd, you would think that Jesus with Joseph, or Joseph would have thought that Jesus was with Mary. So I can understand that part. Oh, I totally understand that part, because last week, as I was driving home with Pastor New, he received a text. He was right next to me. He received a text that said, "Hi, guys, I don't know you know this or not, but your son is still at church. Pastor New and Elizabeth has left their son at church," and they went home. So I understand it. I get it. Thank God we have good friends. So after they notice at sundown, so the way the Jewish calendar works is it's sun up and sundown is one day. So the night, when the sun comes back up, that's another day. So 24 hours to us, it's actually 2 days in the Jewish calendar. So at sundown, they noticed Jesus was missing. So they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, so it was sun up and sundown, and sun back up at sundown again, they finally found Jesus teaching in the synagogue. And he was asking hard questions, and all the teachers there were so impressed by what he was saying, what he was teaching, and all the questions that he was asking. You know, I can't imagine what Mary and Joseph was going through. We lost the Son of God. We lost Jesus. But on a serious note, looking back, it made perfect sense, doesn't it? That his whole life, even at childhood, he was foreshadowing about him, what he's going to do in his father's business, that he is going to die and come back to life on the third day. In Mary and Joseph's eyes, Jesus was dead. We can't find him. What if we lost him along the way? It's a whole day of travel. What if the robbers got him? What if all these people coming in and out of Jerusalem on this festival of celebration, they kidnapped him to Egypt, like they did with Joseph, where Joseph's brother sold him into slavery? What if? What if he was attacked by wolves and the animals in the world? What if? So to Mary and Joseph, their son was dead, but yet he came back and found him 3 days later. At a very young age, he was already foreshadowing of his death and his business for the Father. And Mary knew this all along, and she treasured it in her heart. Speaking of Mary, you know, she knew Jesus was not normal. She knew there was something special about Jesus. I mean, at a very young age, she had to take Jesus to Egypt to hide. She knew he was not normal. She knew he was sent from God because the very angel went to her and said, you're going to conceive, you're going to bear a son, and you're going to call him Jesus, and he's going to be the Savior of the world. And he's from the house of David. And he will reign. And he will take over the kingdom for Jacob. She knew he was not normal. So there's this one time that they were invited to a wedding. And in the Jewish culture, weddings are actually not just like quick one afternoon where you go and you go back home right away after you eat and party it up. For a Jewish wedding, it's actually 3 days long. They celebrate for 3 days long in a Jewish wedding. So on the third day, they ran out of wine. Now, wine plays an important, significant meal item in the Jewish wedding. But on the third day, they ran out of wine. And Jesus and his apostles were actually invited to the wedding. And Mary went over to Jesus. Now, she must have known that he was not from this world. There's something special about this kid. So she said, fill up some of those jars over there. And give him to my son. He knows what to do with it. She knew. So Jesus looked at Mary, and he goes, woman, why are you including me in this? It's not my time yet. Now, Jesus, the only person that has the rights to call his mom woman, okay? Kids, if you do that, you're in trouble. He's Jesus. He can call his mom woman if he wants to. He says, woman, why are you including me in this? It's not my time yet. Oh, I love Mary. Moms, you know this, right? When you know you can tell your son to do something, you tell him. She ignored completely what he said. I was there. We were invited to the wedding. She ignored completely what he said. And she goes, give him the jar. He's going to do it anyways. So Jesus turned the water into wine, so that the wedding didn't have to stop. Because if the wine ran out, the guests will go home and the celebration will be over. So Jesus turned the water into wine so they continued to celebrate this wedding, the celebration. Oh, you know, the kiss, the hug, the embrace, the peace between two people uniting together their friendship, eternity, together. Jesus provided the wine so they can complete their celebration by a kiss. The unity. Looking back, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Jesus provided a way for us to unite with God forever. This wedding, this kiss, this union, that he kept it going. But yet, Jesus was betrayed by a kiss. Oh, that night after the Last Supper. Myself and our fellow brothers would often go with Jesus into this place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And he would brought us in there, and that night he invited James, my brother, and I to go with him, and the rest of the apostles, the rest of our friends were sleeping. And I couldn't believe what I witnessed. Jesus walked into the Garden of Gethsemane. He kneeled to his knees and he says, "Father." And he began to pray. He says, "Glorify your son. Do I have to go through this? Is there any other way? Any other way at all, God? Any other way, God? Any other way, Father? Is there any other way that this cup can be taken away from me?" Because he knew he was about to face the most gruesome, violent crucifixion history of humanity ever invented. The Roman cross. So he says, "Any other way, God?" And he was praying on his knees. He was praying in such agony. At that moment, he was fully man. But he was begging his Father for mercy. And he sweat. Looks like the appearance that it was like blood that was sweating from him. The army is coming. The whips are coming. The cross is coming. The punishment is coming. But yet here Jesus on his knees praying. Oh, he prayed for us. He prayed for the apostles. He prayed that we continue to stay strong. Kind of like when Joshua told the army that he says, "Be strong and courageous." Oh, he prayed for you and I. He prayed for all the believers to come in the future. He prayed for you and I. And he specifically prayed for you. That you continue to live, to love one another, to live in unity, to bring peace to one another. To think about it, looking back, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Battles are won on our knees, not in our fist. Looking back, it makes sense, doesn't it? Many battles are won on our knees, not with our fist. So after he finished praying, we were leaving the Garden of Gethsemane, and here they come. The army, the soldiers, the guards, they came with torches and clubs. And Judas approached Jesus. He had arranged a signal with the guards that the man he's going to kiss is going to be the Jesus that they need to arrest. So after he kissed Jesus, Jesus stood up and says, "Who is it that you're looking for?" And they said, "We're looking for Jesus." At this time, everyone knew who Jesus was. Why did they even bother asking? It was because they were afraid that he might be who he said he is. That he, in fact, might be the Son of God. So the moment he says, "I am he," they fell back and they kneeled to the ground in this sense of worship. And he asked them a second question. "Who is it that you're looking for?" They said, "We're looking for Jesus." He says, "I am he." Jesus was portrayed by a friend with a kiss. At that moment, when Judas went up to Jesus and kissed him, I remember at the wedding that he kept the party going. Kiss was supposed to meant to unite. A kiss was supposed to bring friendships together. A kiss was supposed to bring peace between two people. A kiss was supposed to have this significant that there's no conflict between us. Not a kiss to portray the Son of God. But it makes perfect sense looking back, doesn't it? Judas was the only apostle from the tribe of Judah. Judah, in some, has always been the apple of God's eyes. Judah, from the tribe, the lineage of Jacob. Judas, from the tribe of Judah. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. God's promise for humanity that out of Judah, he will save the world. So the kiss wasn't meant to be betrayal at all. Looking back, it makes perfect sense. When Judas kissed Jesus, he was making peace with God. That now Judah is asking for forgiveness from God. It was too late for Judas to turn back around. At that moment, he was coming to Jesus and he kissed him, and he's from the tribe of Judah. He's offering, he's seeking, he's pleading for God for forgiveness. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? In the Garden of Eden, where everything fell apart, in the Garden of Gethsemane, a kiss that brought everything together, where your sins are washed away, your forgiveness happened, where you can walk away free. Everything brought back together by a kiss. Oh, Revelation 19. Revelation 19. It makes perfect sense. The world ends with a wedding feast. The world ends with a wedding feast. The world ends where Jesus comes again on a white horse and he's celebrating. He says, get married. But that marriage is between us and God, this peace between us and God. I know you might not understand this now, but you will see it in Revelation 19. Betray, unite, forgiveness by a kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane, where your sins are washed away by this Jesus who is fully man and fully God. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your love and your grace. Because you are our Savior, you are our God. And the world desperately needs to know that you won on your needs, not with your fist. God, we thank you for loving us for just who we are. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. As the band come forward. What does that mean for you and I? What does it mean for you and I to to come to church every Sunday or to even hear about Jesus Christ? Do we just walk away from here and thinking, oh, that's cool? Or do we walk away from here, relationships amended, relationships are forgiven? Are we walking away from here hugging our loved ones and said, we need to pray? We need to pray. How can we forgive one another the way Jesus prayed for us in unity? Or do we walk away here thinking, oh, that was cool? Or do we walk away from here knowing that either Jesus says who he said he was or is, or he is completely lunatic and crazy? He can't be both. He got to be one of the two. And on the day of the Pentecost, Peter stood up and he says, Jesus, who you have been crucified, both Lord and Christ. And everyone was torn to their hearts. And they said, what must we do? And he says, believe, every one of you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. The message of God requires a response. Judas responded with the kiss. He says, I'm sorry, Jesus. You know how I know that? Because Judas went and hung himself after that incident. He was filled with guilt. For you, you don't have to bear that guilt. It's done. It's over. It is finished. Your sins has been taken away. So there's you this morning that needs to be serious and get back to God. I'm inviting you to meet me here. If you've never been baptized at all, we have a baptistry here. I'll open in advance. Water's warm. Sometimes I'll go back there and the water's freezing. Water's warm, good for you. We have a baptistry. We have a change of clothes. If that's you today, don't leave here thinking that was just a cool story. Either Jesus says who he says he was and is, or he is a complete joke. If you've been burdened with life a little bit and you need some prayers, our elders will be up here to pray with you. But don't leave here today without making the decision. Let's stand.